suddenly in 1916, at least partly exhausted by his quest, and the search fell into abeyance while Lowell's heirs squabbled over his estate. However, in 1929, partly as a way of deflecting attention away from the Mars Canal saga, which by now had become a serious embarrassment, the Lowell Observatory directors decided to resume the search, and to that end hired a young man from Kansas named Clyde Tombaugh. Tombaugh had no formal training as an astronomer, but he was diligent and he was astute, and after a year's patient searching he somehow spotted Pluto, a faint point of light in a glittery firmament. It was a miraculous find, and what made it all the more striking was that the observations on which Lowell had predicted the existence of a planet beyond Neptune proved to be comprehensively erroneous. Tombaugh could see at once that the new planet was nothing like the massive gas ball Lowell had postulated, but any reservations he or anyone else had about the character of the new planet were soon swept aside in the delirium that attended almost any big news story in that easily excited age. This was the first American-discovered planet, and no one was going to be distracted by the thought that it was really just a distant icy dot. It was named Pluto, at least partly because the first two letters made a monogram from Lowell's initials. Lowell was posthumously hailed everywhere as a genius of the first order, and Tombaugh was largely forgotten, except among planetary astronomers who tend to revere him. A few astronomers continue to think there may be a planet X out there, a real whopper, perhaps as much as 10 times the size of Jupiter, but so far out as to be invisible to us. It would receive so little sunlight that it would have almost none to reflect. The idea is that it wouldn't be a conventional planet like Jupiter or Saturn. It's much too far away for that. We're talking perhaps 4.5 trillion miles, but more like a sun that never quite made it. Most star systems in the cosmos are binary, double-starred, which makes our solitary sun a slight oddity. As for Pluto itself, nobody is quite sure how big it is, or what it is made of, what kind of atmosphere it has, or even what it really is. A lot of astronomers believe it isn't a planet at all, but merely the largest object so far found in a zone of galactic debris known as the Kuiper Belt. The Kuiper Belt was actually theorized by an astronomer named F.C. Leonard in 1930, but the name honors Gerard Kuiper, a Dutch native working in America, who expanded the idea. The Kuiper Belt is the source of what are known as short-period comets, those that come past pretty regularly, of which the most famous is Halley's Comet. The more reclusive long-period comets, among them the recent visitors Hale-Bopp and Hayakutake, come from the much more distant Oort cloud, about which more presently. It is certainly true that Pluto doesn't act much like the other planets. Not only is it runty and obscure, but it is so variable in its motions that no one can tell you exactly where Pluto will be a century hence. Whereas the other planets orbit on more or less the same plane, Pluto's orbital path is tipped, as it were, out of alignment at an angle of 17 degrees, like the brim of a hat tilted rakishly on someone's head. Its orbit is so irregular that for substantial periods on each of its lonely circuits around the Sun, it is closer to us than Neptune is. For most of the 1980s and 1990s, Neptune was in fact the solar system's most far-flung planet. Only on February the 11th, 1999, did Pluto return to the outside lane, there to remain for the next 228 years. So if Pluto really is a planet, it is certainly an odd one. It is very tiny, just 0.25% as massive as Earth. If you set it down on top of the United States, it would cover not quite half the lower 48 states. This alone makes it extremely anomalous. It means that our planetary system consists of 4 rocky inner planets, 4 gassy outer giants, and a tiny, solitary ice ball. Moreover, there is every reason to suppose that we may soon begin to find other, even larger icy spheres in the same portion of space. Then we will have problems. After Christie spotted Pluto's moon, astronomers began to regard that section of the cosmos more attentively, and as of early December 2002, had found over 600 additional trans-Neptunian objects, or Plutinos, as they are alternatively called. One, dubbed Varuna, is nearly as big as Pluto's moon. Astronomers now think there may be billions of these objects. The difficulty is that many of them are awfully dark. Typically, they have an albedo or reflectiveness of just 4%, about the same as a lump of charcoal. And of course, these lumps of charcoal are about 4 billion miles away. And how far is that exactly? It's almost beyond imagining. Space, you see, is just enormous. Just enormous. Let's imagine, for purposes of edification and entertainment, that we are about to go on a journey by rocket ship. We won't go terribly far, just to the edge of our own solar system, but we need to get a fix on how big a place space is and what a small part of it we occupy. Now the bad news, I'm afraid, is that we won't be home for supper. Even at the speed of light, it would take 7 hours to get to Pluto. But of course we can't travel at anything like that speed. We'll have to go at the speed of a spaceship, and these are rather more lumbering. The best speeds yet achieved by any human object are those of the Voyager 1 and 2 spacecraft, which are now flying away from us at about 35,000 miles an hour. The reason the Voyager craft were launched when they were, in August and September 1977, was that Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune were aligned in a way that happens only once every 175 years. This enabled the two Voyagers to use a gravity assist technique in which the craft were successively flung from one gassy giant to the next in a kind of cosmic version of crack the whip. Even so, it took them 9 years to reach Uranus and a dozen to cross the orbit of Pluto. The good news is that if we wait until January 2006, which is when NASA's New Horizons spacecraft is tentatively scheduled to depart for Pluto, we can take advantage of favorable Jovian positioning, plus some advances in technology, and get there in only a decade or so. Though getting home again will take rather longer, I'm afraid. At all events, it's going to be a long trip. Now, the first thing you're likely to realize is that space is extremely well-named, and rather dismayingly uneventful. Our solar system